All right, we're live on KEXP at home. My name is Larry Mizell, Jr., host of the afternoon show, and I'm honored to be joined today by Femi and Made Kuti. How you doing today, gentlemen?
Oh, fine, thank you, Larry.
Excellent. I'm all right, thank you. Thanks for asking.
Right on.
And you?
Absolutely. Great. I'm ecstatic to be talking to you. This is fantastic. I loved the live set that you recorded. Some great, joyous, brilliant, poignant music, as is the legacy of your family, which is the title of the double album that you two put out, Legacy, yeah. Legacy Plus. I know this is a lot, but what does legacy mean to you?
The family heritage.
Everything that has sort of come before, everything that influences who we've become. And for my dad and I, it's also what comes after us. Mm. It's been a lot of music, a lot of politics, a lot of, you know, conscious acts in each generation that the Kuti family has really been participant of.
Absolutely. Legacy has so many different aspects. You know, I know that the whole world is dealing with the legacy of colonialism. And I know that is still something everybody's dealing with, including in Nigeria. And that's something you both speak to in your music very well. That legacy of activism, is that something that was just ingrained in you?
Yeah, you could say so. You could say so, yes. I mean, it's all I think I've ever known, and I think probably most likely Madi has ever known, to be concerned about issues that surround us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my father has always taught me to be aware of my own state of mind, aware of my own immediate surroundings, and very much aware of the community that I belong to. And if you have that level of awareness, you will, without a doubt, in a country like Nigeria and in a city like Lagos, feel responsible for a lot of the things that go on around.
Absolutely. Well, if you don't mind, let's get into the first couple songs from that fantastic live set that y'all recorded for KEXP. Live on KEXP at home, Femi and Made Kuti.
As I stand before you, I want you to listen to me well. As I stand before you, I want you to hear me well. You see, this is our life. Our lives move very fast. Our lives in this life. Our lives move very fast. It's why we must face the government. Government must not waste our time. It's why we must face the government. Government must not waste our time. When government waste our time, government waste our life. When government waste our time, government waste our life. If government not fit do their job, quack, 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 make them come out for dear. Quack, 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 make them come out for dear. Quack, 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 if government not fit do their job, quack, 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 make them give us electricity. Bah, bah, bah. Make them repair all the roads, you know. Make them give us good health care. Make them give us clean water to drink, to name a few. Bah, bah, bah. Bah, 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 oh, oh. Get down. down before you. I want you to listen to me well. As I stand before you, I want you to hear me well. You see, this is our lives move very fast. Our lives in this life, our lives move very fast. It's why we must face the government. Government must not waste our time. It's why we must face the government. Government must not waste our time. When government waste our time, government waste our life. When government waste our time, government waste our life. If government go free do their job, papa, papa, make them come out for their. Papa, papa, make them come out for their. Papa, papa, if government no free do their work, papa, papa, make them give us electricity. Papa, papa, make them repair all the roads, yo. Papa, papa, make them give us good health care. Papa, papa, make them give us clean water to drink. Papa, papa.
Live on KEXP at home. I'm here with Femi and Made Kuti live from Lagos right now. Pleasure to talk to you guys. I know recently we saw protests against the SARS police unit in Nigeria and how that's proceeded. And that's been very visible through, you know, the music coming out of Lagos. In the wake of those protests, do you feel like things have improved, or is it the same struggle you've been seeing for generations?
It hasn't improved. I think it's the same struggle. It seems to be getting worse. And one way you can look at it is economically. When my father was talking, it was $2 to the naira. Now it's 480 naira to the dollars. So economically, you can see that life is, you could say, 480 times worse. There's still a lot of killings, kidnappings, security is very bad. But the great thing is you just still find some people are resilient in believing that there is hope. So we have to remain optimistic. A lot of people still go about their daily lives, fighting for a better life for themselves and their families. And I think this has been the story of Africa since slavery. And we still have that willpower to combat all these obstacles before us. I think I think we're still going to go through a lot of difficult times, but I am optimistic that we'll find a way to solve all these issues eventually. But still probably harder times ahead.
I 100% see the same way. Things are getting worse.
Yeah, it does seem like things are going to get, you know, darker before we see the light, certainly.
There also feels one like thing I've always, a lot of divide.
Yes, definitely. That's a really good point. There is a lot of division. And I wonder where it's coming from sometimes. I've seen movements even among, you know, Black people in the West kind of drawing back and being really nationalist and not invested in a global identity. And that's been, you know, kind of heartbreaking to see.
When you understand the gravity of slavery and colonization, then you can easily simplify the problems. Mm. One easy way to look at it is, take for instance us. We speak in English. We dream in English. It's not our language. So whether we like it or not, we are colonized. And this is a battle we always have to keep on fighting ourselves with. But this is a personal battle. And education has taught us to look down on people that dream in their languages or speak in their languages. This is a problem generally of the African. Now, the African in the diaspora, as we would say, don't even have the... they don't have the, not willpower, they don't even have the, they have nothing to give them an identity of even having to understand they had a language, because your education has completely taken that away. You could say your souls have been taken away from you. So you are just like roaming about the world. You're all speaking English or French or whichever language it is the African is, has been brainwashed to accept by force. And this languages cause division amongst us, because colonization has made us make it a problem that we will never agree. Mm. Even on the simplest issues, we always think the more we speak whichever foreign language is, we want to show we are more knowledgeable than our brothers and sisters. We oppress them with these languages. But this is, we are talking about 400 years of oppression. So it's not going to change in 1 year with Marcus Garvey, my father, Patrice Lumumba, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, so many names who have fought for the emancipation of Africa, Africans who have died fighting for freedom in America and in Brazil or wherever we're talking about. These stories are so many, and we have so little knowledge of these stories, and even when we have them, they are biased a lot of times, except we tell them ourselves. And because we are reading these stories in English, we have our doubts, because the languages have taught us to have doubts and not believe, even when we have facts. Unfortunately for us, unlike the Jewish story, for instance, we have footage of what happened during the Holocaust. So it is very hard to deny. With slavery, you just have photographs or pictures at the latter stage of what happened to Black people. You see, we still even say slaves. We call ourselves slaves. We don't even understand that we were kings and queens. We came from palaces. We came from empires. And when we're addressing that history, we say Africans, slaves were taken out of Africa. Slaves were not taken out of Africa. Human beings were taken and enforced and enslaved and brainwashed, beaten, tortured, and the atrocities that were committed by Europeans, Americans, or whichever nation we're talking about, it's really, I could say, unforgivable. And I keep saying, these nations have to just keep on apologizing to Africans, as the Germans have to keep on apologizing to the Jews. But you see, they have found a way to distort this history, and now we fight and defend colonization for the colonialists.
And just as my dad said, to even further that point, the greatest damage is almost not even as much physical damage as was done during colonialism. It's more, it has been more subtle. It's like the language that my father spoke of. The more educated you are, the better your English, of course. But it's also very likely the worse your own native tongue is. So myself, for instance, my English is significantly better than my Yoruba. And I have a certain disconnect between myself and someone I know that is from where I'm from. And there's certain things that he or she will say that I don't understand, certain proverbs that they will say, and certain, you know, typical sort of idioms that I don't immediately grasp. And instantly I feel disconnected because I want to belong to those people. But I feel like my education has taken me away from that sort of natural state of my own sort of
identity. True identity.
Yeah, my own identity. Yes, in fact. Yeah, it's not.
That's a very powerful point, particularly about language and how that shapes, you know, your brain and even the thoughts you're able to think, the concepts you're able to imagine for yourself. The language you speak has everything to do with that.
2, 3, 4. Just want to live in peace. One problem now, government and bad policies. They make life difficult instead of bringing simplicity. The hate and suffering around, so painful to see. Stop the hate, for goodness sake, before it's late. Let us make the world a better place. Together our problems let us face. People listen, there's no time to waste. To bring justice and peace to the human race. Billions of people in search of a better life. Trapped in IDP camps, many crossing danger to survive. The world is slow to act whilst we watch them suffer and die. Action is what they need, not for us to sit down and cry. Stop the hate, for goodness sake, before it's late. Let us make the world a better place. Together our problems let us face. People listen, there's no time to waste. To bring justice and peace to the human race.
One thing I've always loved and admired about the music of your family is amidst the stories of struggle and immense hardship that's globally minded. There's joy, there's exaltation, there's celebration, you know, that brings people together. How was that transmitted to you, Femi?
Oh, I think the purpose of life is to be happy. Mm. And easily, that's what the music is about. So our culture celebrated death, celebrated life, celebrated harvest, farming. Even when you were going to war, it was musical. Life was supposed to be, we always, there was a balance. The African culture taught us balance. And the bottom line was to make the best of life. And yes, I think hundreds of thousands of years taught us that there will be obstacles, but we have something at our disposal, which is music, and that keeps the body and soul together. So yes, we might talk about serious, very sad issues, but the music is, the way I see it is, we're talking, it's like taking a bitter pill with sweet juice. So the music is there to help you digest these issues easily. But the messages sometimes are very hardcore. And
I love that analogy.
So that's the way I see it. And the way I try to, that's the way I've perceived my compositions as well. That why do I have to sing about so many sad stories, but the music is so danceable and so comforting? So I said, probably the creator gave me this knowledge to be able to pass this message, but I needed a tool to pass this message. So you needed music that will make people dance, be happy, maybe a kiss here or there, but the message. So subconsciously or consciously, the message is hitting you wherever.
That's a powerful message. Made, is that how it came to you as well?
Very much
in your
so,
upbringing?
Yeah.
The both of you covered one of my favorite songs of all time, Femi, your father's song, Watching No Get Enemy. I wondered if you would talk about the concept of that song, because I've always thought it's immensely powerful.
Mm. My dad is
Yeah, a girl comes to my father's house and says that my father is like water and he shouldn't have enemies because water has no enemy. And my father said, wow, that's brilliant. And he said he was going to write a song that water has no enemy. You can't fight water. If you fight water, you're going to die. So he made a song, Water No Get Enemy. But the idea comes from this. I think she was his girlfriend or something like that. And she just looked at him and said, sorry about that. She says, oh, fella, you're like water. I don't know why people fight you. So people should just be happy and accept you.
I love that. That's something that every living organism requires. It's common to us all. It's part of us all. You know, that applies to so much. It implies an ecological message. Is that something that you've taken away from it?
Definitely.
You take something away from every track of my father. Mm,
absolutely.
And I think the same thing with the Afrobeat. I think that is the essence of Afrobeat. Mm-hmm. That it has to inspire you at whatever time of the day, whatever you're doing, whatever year you're listening to it. And as, like I said, probably the message is very depressing. But when you hear the music, you still have that smile. That, wow, I love that beat. I love that melody. Wow, powerful horn section. Oh, listen to that rhythm. Wow, the melody of the song. Wow, I like what he's saying. Oh, I agree with what he's saying. What they're saying, and you see, it's there to carry you along.
And oftentimes, the message in Fela's music is often either too complicated or too simple to digest too quickly. So, a lot of people listen to his music, and over time, only later understand the message that was in it. And in Nigeria, it's very common that they refer to Fela as a prophet, which I've always had a problem with because it diminishes just how powerful he was to face his immediate reality and say those things in his time as they were happening, not predicting the future or not speaking about the past, but facing his immediate reality. And I had a friend that spoke about water and came to me in primary school and said, well, why is your grandfather singing about water of all things? I said, what is of greater value to sing about? Money, sex, water is everything. It's everything that makes us who we are. It makes the world what it is. Yeah, it's just, I think it takes some time for some people.
Absolutely. It's going to be the source of great conflict in the future as well, if it's not already. I really loved watching you both perform that song, both playing the sax and just getting a sense of this transmission of the message and the vitality of the spirit that courses through y'all in that track. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. If we can, let's get into the last track, that cover of Water No Get Enemy. We're live on KXP at Home. I'm talking to Femi and Made Kuti. Put out fantastic double album called Legacy, acknowledging the continuum of legacy that runs in their family and throughout the global family of spirit and message. So I appreciate you both so much for taking the time to join us and share that music with us.
Thank you for
having us. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. This has been live on KEXP. It's been an honor to talk to you both. Femi and Made Kuti. My name is Larry Mizell Jr.